Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from University Park Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, this morning. We pray for you regularly, and we are so thankful for the ministry of this church in this place. I'm glad to be with you this morning as we look to the book of Habakkuk. Do I need to turn this on? No? Okay. I'm not going to do that. All right. Mike really loves me. I annoy him exceedingly. Anyway, book of Habakkuk. If you would, open your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. It's on page 785 of the Pew Bibles. As we look at Habakkuk this morning, I wonder if you've ever felt helpless or hopeless. I'm certain that if you've ever lived long enough, you have encountered in your own heart a sense of hopelessness and a sense of helplessness. For some of us, that sense of hopelessness and helplessness comes in the face of disease. This summer, my family has lost two family members to disease. I'm sure many of you have experienced loss as well. For others of us, that sense comes in the face of destruction and loss. I'm sure that you've seen the destruction that was caused by flash floods in central Texas on July 4th. It's been devastating to our state. So many families lost loved ones. And then for others of us, that sense of hopelessness and helplessness simply comes in those moments of distress or despair. Moments that only you know of. Moments that perhaps you're thinking of even now. It is not uncommon for a Christian to feel a sense of hopelessness or helplessness. It is not uncommon for God's people to be faced with questions of distress and despair. Whether it be personal or political, social or subjective, God's people living in God's world under God's judgment for our sin may from time to time experience a sense of hopelessness or helplessness. There's, of course, countless examples of God's people in the Old Testament and in the New and throughout church history who have experienced great distress, great despair, and who have wrestled with God's ways and waited for God's answer. And this morning, we're going to turn our attention to the prophet Habakkuk, who does just that. One example from church history, however, is the poet and hymn writer William Cooper. We just sung one of William Cooper's songs, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. And I have, over the years, enjoyed singing that song in services. But as I looked into William Cooper's life, the depth of sorrow and despair only brought the words of that song more meaning and more impact on my own heart. William Cooper was an English poet and hymn writer. He struggled deeply with lifelong severe depression, anxiety, and even suicide attempts. He was raised in the Church of England, but the death of his mother when he was 6 years old profoundly scarred his soul. His father sent him away to several different harsh boarding schools. After he had reached a certain age, Cooper trained as a lawyer, but suffered a mental breakdown when facing a particularly trying legal appointment. In 1764, at the age of 33, during one of his most intense bouts of despair, and after he had attempted suicide, Cooper was institutionalized. And it was during this time in an asylum that he came under the care of a godly Christian doctor who encouraged him simply to read the Bible. And through reading his Bible, Cooper came to believe in Jesus Christ. And he found comfort in Jesus Christ, even though his depression never fully lifted. Cooper later became close friends with the ex-slave trader turned pastor John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. And together they wrote several hymns that became known as the Olding Hymn Collection. Many of Cooper's hymns reflect his deep inner struggles, but they also reflect a profound trust in God's sovereign mercy. Cooper wrote God Moves in a mysterious way in 1773 during one of his darkest periods. He had fallen again into despair, and he had believed wrongly that God had rejected him once and for all. And so that night, Cooper attempted suicide. But as he would attest, he was mysteriously and providentially prevented from that attempt. So soon after that happened, Cooper wrote God Moves in a Mysterious Way, expressing faith that even in the midst of a terrible darkness and incomprehensible suffering, God is still at work for the good of his people, and in particular for William Cooper. And so this man of deep distress and despair, he penned the lines that we just sung, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and he rides upon the storm. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. This sense of hopelessness and helplessness that you may feel at any number of situations is similar to the hopelessness and helplessness that William Cooper experienced. It's similar to that same experience of Habakkuk, this prophet of God who struggles in our text this morning with these exact things. Habakkuk cannot understand how a holy God could use a wicked nation like the Babylonians to judge God's people. God's ways are certainly mysterious to Habakkuk. And if we're honest, God's ways are certainly mysterious to us at times. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And at times it leaves us wrestling with God and waiting in the midst of God's mystery. We're going to consider Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 through chapter 2, verse 20 this morning. So chapter 1, verse 12, and then all of chapter 2, we're going to look at these verses in three headings. First, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17, we will see that Habakkuk wrestles with God's ways. Wrestling with God's ways. In these verses, we see Habakkuk anchored in God's character, yet struggling with God's judgments. Anchored in God's character, yet struggling with God's judgments. Secondly, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, Habakkuk waits for God's answer. Waiting for God's answer. In these verses, we learn that the righteous person lives by believing, resting, waiting, persevering in faith in God. And third, chapter 2, verses 6 through 20, we see woe to God's enemies. Woe to God's enemies. In these verses, we learn that the wicked person will perish under the sovereign judgment of God. So those will be the three points of our sermon this morning. Wrestling with God's ways, waiting for God's answer, and woe to God's enemies. The main point of these verses is that God's ways are often mysterious, but the righteous will live by faith. God's ways are often mysterious, but the righteous will live by faith. So let's go to God now in prayer and in faith, and let's ask him to be with us as we consider these words from Habakkuk. Let's pray to God now. Father, what we have not, we pray that you would give us this morning. We pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and faith to believe everything that is written in your word. God, we pray that what we are not, that you would make us. We pray that you would make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we pray that what we know not, you would teach us. Teach us to walk by faith so that we might take hold of the righteousness of Christ from this day until that day when we are with you in glory, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's look now at Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, starting in verse 12. This is God's word. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet, for by them he lives in luxury, and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? In these verses, we see Habakkuk, this prophet of God, wrestling with God's ways in prayer. These verses act as a model for us of how to wrestle with God's ways in prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, we want to look at these words and consider our own prayer life. Our prayer life will be marked by wrestling with God's ways. I dare say that one of the reasons that our prayer life is so lacking, myself being the chief of sinners, is because we have unbiblical expectations about our prayer. We don't know what to pray because we think our prayers have to be something that God never intended. And so, loved ones, let me encourage you this morning in your prayer life to simply pray like the Bible prays. If you struggle with prayer this morning, which is every Christian in this room, simply open your Bibles to the Psalms or to Proverbs or to Habakkuk or to the Lord's Prayer and pray using God's Word as your guide. You don't have to come up with your own words. You only have to wrestle with God's words and God's ways. And here, the prophet Habakkuk, he gives us a wonderful example of how to wrestle with God in prayer. So in verse 12, Habakkuk, he roots his confidence in God's character as he wrestles with God's way. So verse 12, look there. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? Habakkuk goes to God in prayer, and the very first thing he does is he roots his confidence in God's character. When you are in the midst of despair and distress, one of the great things you can do is to remind yourself of who God is and to confess to God who God is. We don't confess to God because God has forgotten who He is. We do it because we have forgotten who God is. And so when we wrestle with God's ways in prayer, it is good for us to remind ourselves, like Habakkuk does here, of God's character and to confess His character back to Him in prayer. Most of your Bible translations, if you're using the ESV, it will translate that next phrase, "We shall not die." We shall not die. Other translations may say, "You shall not die." And regardless of the translation, the point is that God is eternal. And therefore, He is outside of time and of space. He is outside of even life and death. And so it's both true that you shall not die, referring to God, for He is eternal, all life is in Him. And it's also true that those who are in God by faith, who are united to Christ by faith, that though you may die, yet shall you live. The point that Habakkuk is making here in verse 12, is that in the midst of our turmoil and chaos, of our uncertainty and our despair, God is eternally and sovereignly over all the circumstances of life. He never changes, though our circumstances change dramatically. God is eternal. He is sovereign. He is holy. Verse 13, "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, God is holy. And God, therefore, is trustworthy in the midst of our changing circumstances and distresses." And so, brothers and sisters, in times of crisis, we must anchor our faith in the unchanging character of God, just like Habakkuk, a character that is revealed to us in even greater degrees than Habakkuk. For we know that all of God's promises are what? They are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. We know that all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell in Jesus Christ. We know, as the writer of Hebrews says, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, loved ones, we are sure of this, that in the midst of your changing circumstances, your despairs, and your distress, that neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as we wrestle with God's ways, let us be anchored in Jesus Christ. He is the radiance of God, the exact imprint of His nature. And from that anchor of our souls, we can struggle with God's judgments. And we can wrestle with God's ways. Habakkuk goes on here in his prayer, verses 13 through 17, to make sincere complaints to God. Sincere complaints to God that are rooted in his reverence for God. He makes sincere complaints to God rooted in his reverence for God. I think this is actually very important for us not to miss that the questions Habakkuk poses to God are rooted in reverence for God. We live in a day of so-called authenticity where it's valued more than reverence. Be your true self. You do you. And so some people would encourage us to just tell God how we really feel, to vent our anger, our uncontrolled emotions, to do whatever feels right to us in our own eyes, to exercise untethered empathy to those who are in this situation. They would tell us that spontaneous words of emotion are the height of authentic and intimate prayer. Oh, but loved ones, this is not the way Habakkuk prays. No, his questioning of God is rooted in reverence for God. For we must never forget that we are authentic. We are authentically sinners. When we stand and when we approach an authentically holy, holy, holy God in prayer. And so we ought to pray that even our prayers, the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in His sight. We ought to pray with reverence and with awe, never forgetting that God is a consuming fire. So notice in verse 13 that even Habakkuk's first question is rooted in the holiness of God. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil, you cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors? Why do you remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? What is Habakkuk's prayer? He is rooting it in God's character to ask his questions. It's not wrong to wonder. It's not wrong to wrestle with God's ways because of who God is. One of the great enduring questions of the Christian life is how a good and holy God can allow and permit evil in the world. That is Habakkuk's question here in verse 13. And yet this question, it finds good answer throughout Scripture. And even here, Habakkuk is asking this question about God. How could it be that God could use even a wicked and sinful nation like Babylon, or your Bibles may say the Chaldeans? How could God use these wicked people to do His bidding? Habakkuk, he uses poetic or allegorical language in verses 14 through 17 to illustrate the great difficulty that he has with God's sovereign purpose. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been crying out to God for His sovereign purpose in your life, confused about God's ways, wrestling with God's judgments? When was the last time you talked to God this way? Brothers and sisters, this is a deeply Christian way of praying, because even our Lord Jesus Christ prayed this way. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, begotten of the Father, born of the Virgin Mary, this Jesus who lived a sinless life marked by perfect obedience, this Jesus who is full of love, who is full of joy, He is full of peace and patience, He is full of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And yet we know it was the will of God to crush Him on the cross. He who knew no sin, to become sin, to bear the wages of our sin, to die a sinner's death. So there, hanging on the cross, in his humanity. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 27, out of his anguish of soul, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Habakkuk in verses 12 through 17 is a model of how to wrestle with God's ways, rooted in reverence for who God is. And it's modeled for us even more in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Loved ones, we must be honest in our prayers with God. For how could we possibly lie to the one who knows all things? It is especially